It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
Local NAACP leaders are speaking out this morning about the racist incident endured by the University of Utah women's basketball team in Idaho.
KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with the latest, Adam.
Amanda, NAACP Salt Lake Branch President Janetta Williams says she was disappointed to hear what happened to the team while they were staying in Quarter Lane days before they played Gonzaga in Washington, about 35 minutes away. One school admin originally told KSL.com a vehicle pulled up to them as they were all walking into a restaurant on Thursday and someone in that vehicle yelled the N-word at them. They say it also happened again as they were leaving just hours later. Williams said in a statement that she has spoken with local police who confirmed they are conducting a thorough investigation. She continued saying that these incidents should not be taken lightly. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Coeur d'Alene officials are also speaking out in support of the Lady Utes. Mayor Jim Hammond says the incident does not represent the city.
To the young women who endured racial slurs while visiting, I offer my most sincere apology.
In a statement, Utah Athletic Director Mark Harlan thanked the city for condemning what happened.
Olympians headed to the Paris Games this summer could be sweating in their apartments as much as on the field. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston is live. Peter?
Amanda, Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo has a message for Olympians about climate change. There won't be air conditioning this year in their apartments.
The irreversibility of climate change and that everyone must become aware of this, including athletes.
Connor Mance is a marathon runner from Utah, and he tells the Deseret News that he could hurt his sleep schedule. Paris did see record-breaking temperatures in the triple digits last year, and to adjust for the expected heat wave of this summer, Paris will be putting athletes in villages that pump water up from the ground to cool off the apartments. Building facades are also designed to be away from the sun and toward the Seine River. Mary Hidalgo says to doubters, trust the science. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. The U.S. Coast Guard called off the search for survivors at the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse, and the investigation now focuses on why the cargo ship that hit the bridge lost power. ABC's Perry Russum has the latest from the scene.
Eight construction workers repairing potholes were still on the bridge. Two were later pulled from the water. The six others are now presumed dead. Jesus Campos recently worked on the bridge. He describes the workers as family men, married with children. The Port of Baltimore is now closed, possibly for months. 30,000 cars cross the bridge every day. Perry Russum, ABC News, Baltimore.
The government of Guatemala also keeping a close eye on the investigation, saying that two of the six presumed dead construction workers who went into the water were from Guatemala.
Just moments ago, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg spoke with ABC News.
I can't weigh in or speculate on anything related to the investigation. What I do know is that the force of this ship is almost unimaginable. This is a vessel that was about 100,000 tons carrying its load. So 200 million pounds went into this bridge.
A Homeland Security assessment says the tangled metal and debris left in the river under where the bridge once stood make the environment very dangerous for rescue divers.
U.S. consumer confidence held mostly steady this month, even as Americans wrestle with high grocery and fuel prices. The report out this morning shows that people's current views on their economic situation improved slightly, but there isn't a lot of optimism about incomes and the job market going forward.
Delta Airlines is responding after one of their flights to Amsterdam had to return back to Salt Lake. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson has details.
Delta Airlines says sorry for the inconvenience after Flight 56 from Salt Lake City to Amsterdam returned back to Salt Lake City because a panel behind one of the two engines fell off the Airbus A330neo jetliner during takeoff on Sunday. It got only as far as the Montana-North Dakota boundary before it had to turn back. A pylon panel behind the engine on the left wing detached on takeoff. According to the FAA, this is at least the third time in 3 months that a panel has come off a U.S. jetliner. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
I take that flight on a regular basis, as you know.
Oh, Tim. And that'll get your attention.
That one got my attention this morning. I know the crew almost by their first names at this point. All right, first look traffic now on the 7 o'clock report. Heather's in the traffic center.
And we've got delays southbound I-15 between 12th Street and 24th Streets in Ogden. This is due to a crash over on the right shoulder near 24th Street. You're also still pretty slow eastbound I-80, trying to get over the summit of Parley's Canyon. The left lane and shoulder remain blocked, two right lanes open, and chains are four-wheel drive required for Big and Little Cottonwood Canyons. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL Weather with Matt Johnson. The high temperatures this week will remain about 10 degrees below normal.
Tomorrow, cold front by afternoon, breezy out of the south, 57. Valley rain, mountain snow by afternoon. Mostly cloudy with a slight chance for a shower Friday, 53. Better rain chances Saturday and Sunday with highs in the mid-50s. Unfortunately, wet weather expected for Easter Sunday.
At this point, it looks like we could dry out a bit after Easter.
We have an updated ski report closing dates this week thanks to the snowfall. Cherry Peak, Eagle Point, and Sundance still closing on April 7th. Deer Valley, Alta, and Park City will be closing just 2 weeks later. Brian Head and Snowbird will stay open the longest, closing May 5th and shooting for May 27th, if you're talking about Snowbird.
American Fork police busted a man for having 30 pounds of fentanyl, but the Drug Enforcement Agency says this doesn't even scratch the surface of the problem here in Utah. KSL News Radio's Heather Peterson reports.
The DEA says fentanyl is the focus of most of their current drug investigations.
Just our office last year in 2023, we seized about 665,000 pills. In 2024, we're already on pace to knock that out of the park.
Special Agent Dustin Gillespie from the DEA's Salt Lake City Division called fentanyl the most potent and deadly drug in the history of our country and our state. He warns that part of what makes it so dangerous is that most other illicit drugs these days are laced with fentanyl, and a lot of people may not know what or how much they're taking. Gillespie says they're making a big effort to crack down on high-level distributors and suppliers. Heather Peterson, KSL News Radio.
We're learning more about the charges against the Utah author accused of killing her husband. Corey Richens is facing another attempted murder charge after investigators say she gave her husband a sandwich laced with fentanyl and then a few weeks later gave him the fentanyl-laced cocktail that killed him. She continues to deny all charges.
A British court is delaying WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange's extradition to the U.S. Assange is facing charges for acquiring and publishing classified documents online.
A U.K. court ruling that Julian Assange's extradition can go ahead if the U.S. is able to provide sufficient assurances that his case will be considered under the full protections of the First Amendment and that he will not be subjected to the death penalty. The court noted that U.S. prosecutors have also said the First Amendment may not apply to Assange as a non-American citizen. The court said, in that case, extradition may not be permitted. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
A federal judge has sentenced a convicted child molester who hacked the Jacksonville Jaguars Stadium Jumbotron to 220 years in prison. The Associated Press reports that Samuel Thompson, convicted on child pornography charges, owning a firearm as a felon, and making the Jumbotron malfunction in three different games during the 2018 NFL season.
Today is Utah Red Cross Giving Day.
Just a few years ago, Benjamin Donner, executive director with the Utah Red Cross, found himself in an emergency room in Draper needing 4 units of blood. Thanks to anonymous donors, that blood was available and saved his life.
Now I say thank you on behalf of my 16-year-old. They say thank you for keeping their dad here. And that brings it home in a way that I never expected, but found myself on the other end of that.
Last year, Utahns helped more than 800 people with life-saving donations. They encourage those who can to make a donation, financially or by giving blood, or volunteering. Eric Cabrera, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time, 7:09. Traffic and weather together is brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents a gallon. That UDOT shot we just saw there, Heather, in West Valley, slowing down quite a bit.
Yeah, it is. That's the I-215 West Belt. You're going to see a little bit of slowing as you approach the 201 freeway and then on to California Avenue, where we have a crash in the cleanup stages just before that California Avenue exit ramp. You also have some slowdowns, heavier traffic, actually, northbound I-15 between Point of the Mountain and downtown Salt Lake, as well as on Mountain View Corridor and Bangor Highway heading north toward the 201 freeway. Jason.
Still dealing with this accident southbound I-15 just before you get to 24th Street in Ogden, and it's off to the right, but it is causing delays stretched all the way back to 12th Street. The rest of I-15 looking clear into the Salt Lake Valley. No problems on Legacy 89, the West Side Belt, and looking pretty decent again at the gates of Hill Air Force Base. Eric?
Well, it looks like snowfall has tapered off a little bit through Parley's Canyon, but you still got slowdowns on the eastbound side because of an earlier car that crashed, spun out, got disabled. Anyways, he was blocking off a couple of left lanes. Now you've got two right lanes open up, but they've still got one left lane blocked off. Expect some slowing trying to get up over the top of the summit. Getting into Park City, that's slow from US 40 westbound on Kearns Boulevard. Over on the 215 east belt, we're in good shape from 6200 south up past Mount Olympus to Foothill Drive, which in turn is in pretty decent shape going up to the University of Utah. Revere Health encourages you to schedule your preventative care and annual checkups to help increase the potential to live your most healthy and active life. Revere Health, your partner in health, your partner in life. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL hourly forecast. We've got partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies at 7 a.m. with temperatures in the mid-30s. By lunch hour, 46, partly cloudy skies. And this afternoon, topping out at 54, but you'll notice the clouds starting to thicken up towards nightfall. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Matt Johnson.
Starting the morning at 37 degrees.
They're starting to take a look at what the potential economic impact will be from that bridge collapse.
Wow.
Man, it's mind-blowing how big it is.
Yeah.
And how immediate. We'll learn more with Elizabeth Schultze just ahead.
Musician Sean Diddy Combs is speaking out about the FBI raids on his two homes this week. His lawyer says the federal agents used, quote, an excessive show of force and hostility. Here's ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Federal investigators now confirm agents seized electronics from the rapper's homes in California and Florida. Combs' plane flew from California to Antigua in the Caribbean, but Combs was apparently not on board. Sources say the raids are connected to a criminal investigation into sex trafficking allegations against Combs. He's also named in several civil lawsuits, including from music producer Rodney Jones, who accused Combs of sexual assault and engaging in a, quote, widespread and dangerous criminal sex trafficking organization.
Combs' lawyer also calls the raid nothing more than a witch hunt.
Breeze Airways is offering more flights out of Provo. The airline will start flying from Provo to Dallas on June 7th. They currently offer flights to eight different destinations around the U.S. Fares for the new flights will start at just $69.
A police station in California got an official request from Lego, of all places, asking them to stop covering public photos of criminals with Lego heads. Yes, that's a real story, and KSL News Radio's Michael Commit has a look at it.
Tim, Murrieta PD has been using Lego heads to cover people's faces in their online posts since last year, and each head had a different expression. It was a way to let the city know what was happening without violating privacy or other state laws. Unfortunately, Lego noticed after some of these posts went viral, and one polite copyright request later, the department dropped the practice. Now, as a 2000s kid, I'm kind of bummed because we've lost the chance to say, "A man has been spotted in Lego City" in real life. Reporting live, Michael Commit, KSL News Radio.
April 8th will bring the final total solar eclipse visible in the U.S. until the year 2044. That has up to a million sun gazers expected to flow into Texas for the galactic event, and school administrators have some tough choices to make.
The potential traffic jams have some school districts canceling classes on April 8th, but at JFK Elementary School in La Jolla on the Rio Grande,
we want to make it a memorable learning experience for our students.
Principal Laura Cantu says classes on that day will be all about the sun and the moon.
Our vocabulary, models, discussions dealing with a solar eclipse.
Then some outside time.
We are providing safety viewing glasses for all of our students.
Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
And trending this hour on the 7 o'clock report, a different kind of chase kept a few Florida cops busy this week. Yeah, if you saw the video, they were actually on a wild horse chase, literally. A horse trotted along a state road until police were able to corral it in a parking lot. The horse was then taken to more suitable pastures, reunited with its owner.
Louie the Raccoon has been named the 2024 Cadbury Bunny. He's earned a starring role in a commercial and a cash prize of $7,000. Louie's owner says he wasn't able to return to the wild, so he came to live with her. He enjoys lounging around and painting.
I'm trying to remember, is it always some different animal than a rabbit that is the
no
Cadbury
idea.
Bunny?
I don't get that.
Or why does the raccoon actually end up?
My sister actually had a pet raccoon when she was first married because her husband was crazy.
Yeah.
And it would climb up the drapes and tear things apart. And it was what in the world?
Oh, my gosh. Well, he is a cute little devil with little pink ears, if you like raccoons with ears like that. KSL News Time 7:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho city leaders are offering their apologies to the University of Utah women's basketball team after school admin say the team was the target of racism while staying there last week. I'm KSL News Radio's Adam Small.
Second, American Fork police arrested a man they say had 30 pounds of fentanyl, but the Drug Enforcement Agency says this doesn't even scratch the surface of the problem here in Utah.
Third, it's traffic and weather together.
And the roads over Parley's Canyon are still looking a bit icy and wet in most places, and it's still delayed eastbound right at the summit. That is due to a crash still blocking the left lane and shoulder, and traffic filling in on all the other major roadways as well. Heather Kelly in the KSL Traffic Center.
Finally, a break in the wet weather. We'll go partly cloudy today with a high of 54. I'm Matt Johnson.
37 degrees at the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios.
And time for a look at our top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Maryland Governor Wes Moore has met with the families of the six construction workers now believed to have been killed in the Key Bridge collapse. The search will continue today in Baltimore for their bodies. Moore also thanking the police who first reacted to that cargo ship's Mayday call in the overnight hours on Tuesday before the ship slammed into the bridge.
Those first responders, those law enforcement officials, those people who move quickly, literally changed the entire dynamic of what that night could have been.
The head of the NTSB says information from the ship's voyage data recorder, similar to a plane's black box, has been downloaded and is now being analyzed. A Texas law that allows the state to arrest and possibly deport migrants suspected of being in the country illegally will remain on hold for now, thanks to a new ruling by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. A partial gag order issued by the judge in Donald Trump's next trial, the one involving hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Trump has attacked presiding Judge Juan Merchan, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and likely witnesses like Michael Cohen. The judge calling those remarks threatening, inflammatory, denigrating, and deciding the imminency of the risk of harm is now paramount.
A jury selection for that trial begins April 15th. Someone in New Jersey is waking up a billionaire. Well, once you figure in the lump sum and then take out taxes, not quite, but only one ticket sold for last night's Mega Millions drawing in the Garden State. You're listening to ABC News.
All right, let's go in depth now with more on that situation in Baltimore, this time on the potential economic impacts now that the port of Baltimore is closed because of that collapse.
ABC News correspondent Elizabeth Schulze is looking into the details and says a ripple effect might be felt around the entire country.
More than $80 billion in cargo passes through this port every year, and now shipping and logistics companies are scrambling to find other options to move these massive containers. Shipping in and out of the port is suspended indefinitely through vessel traffic. Cruise ships that were supposed to leave from here are now rerouting to Virginia instead. One major industry to watch is autos. This is the busiest port in the U.S. for car imports and exports. GM, Ford, and Stellantis tell us that they are already diverting shipments to other locations. So shipping activity is expected to pick up at other major ports along the East Coast, like in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Virginia. That could result in longer delivery times, but economists tell me that they're hopeful that those delays could last for days and not weeks. The other ripple effect is on the 30,000 drivers who use the Key Bridge every day. Trucks who relied on this corridor are now going to have to find other routes, which could increase their costs or delivery times. The bottom line is that this is a snag in the supply chain, and it could take time to unravel as the wreckage is cleared and as that rebuilding effort begins.
I mean, all over the world. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me how they're having to make shipping adjustments all over the world, and especially for those suppliers like the car suppliers and furniture suppliers who use that as their major port.
Well, then think about the ports that have to pick up all of that traffic.
In New York and other places.
With things that are probably already busy. How do you squeeze all of that in?
I don't know.
Is the infrastructure needed at those ports to make sure you can offload all of that
stuff? Will this cause a supply chain problem like we had on the coast of California?
They said yesterday it's a possibility.
Wow, that's a bummer.
Just saw a headline from News Nation, kind of interesting, because there's been questions about whether, if there's negligence on the part of the ship owner, whether they would have to pony up to do some of the repairs or pay for some of the repairs. And they just said that a Titanic era law still exist that gives them some freedom from liability in these situations.
Really?
Yeah. So that'll be something else that we'll be watching in the future as this thing unfolds. And we did hear this morning that the black box information has been downloaded. So the NTSB got actually on board cargo ship last night.
That'll be helpful.
That's the In-Depth this hour at 15 and 45.
7:19 now, traffic and weather together, brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon, Heather.
Amanda, the earlier crash northbound I-215 near California Avenue, that has cleared. All lanes are open. No delays right now as you go through that stretch of freeway either direction. Northbound I-15 has most of the traffic right now between Bluffdale all the way into downtown Salt Lake. Seeing a few brake lights right around the Spaghetti Bowl where I-80 and 201 freeway meet I-15. And you have a bit of congestion now on SR-36 in Tooele County. That's all heading north trying to get onto I-80. Jason.
Well, we really never had any massive delays southbound I-15 from this accident right before you get to 24th Street, but it's getting better than it was, and now the delays only stretch back to about 21st Street, but we are starting to see slowing now as you come out of Ogden down towards Riverdale Road. That's due to the construction that's in the area there. Again, after that, I-15 is still going to be holding out at regular speeds all the way down into Salt Lake City. No problems on the other highways or side streets. Eric?
All lanes are open now. Eastbound I-80 up over the top of Parley Summit after an earlier crash was blocking some left lanes, but we do have some wet roads there, so you still need to be careful if you're heading into Park City. Delays westbound Kearns Boulevard from US 40 into town, and southbound off of Kimball Junction on 224. That's also slow going by canyons. I-15 in Utah County, northbound, southbound looking good at the moment. From the KSL Traffic Center, I'm Eric Butler.
KSL 7-8 forecast finally getting a break from the wet weather today. 54 and partly cloudy by this afternoon. Breezy tomorrow out of the south. 57 the high with a cold front in the afternoon. 53 mostly cloudy on your Friday. Goes to more showers on Saturday. 55 the high. Back to 56 with another round of valley rain and mountain snow on Sunday. Mostly cloudy 53 Monday. And we're dry, partly cloudy on Tuesday. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Matt Johnson.
37 degrees downtown, and the 7-day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful.
Houston is in town on Friday night to take on our Utah Jazz. And it reminds me, I saw a picture of John Stockton the other day,
yeah,
and I thought, he looks old.
62 years old.
And then
now,
I realized, you're old, Amanda.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's how old you are. Anyway, I digress. We have lower bowl seats to give away to the Jazz game on Friday night, and you'll hear the game right here on our air.
Yeah, I look forward to giving you that chance. By the way, just to follow up, because I know our listeners can't go on with their day without the answer to a question I raised about the Cadbury Bunny.
Yeah.
Because it's Louie the raccoon this year.
Yeah.
And we were saying, what's the connection with a raccoon? Turns out it's never a bunny.
It's never a bunny.
No. Louie actually follows in the footsteps of, and thank you for doing the research here, of previous Cadbury bunnies, including Crash the Rescue Cat, Annie Rose the Therapy Dog, Betty the Frog, Lieutenant Dan the Treeing Walker Coonhound, and Henry the English Bulldog.
More than you ever wanted to know about the Cadbury Bunny.
Yeah. Now, on with your day. Yeah. We'll check money news next.